welcome to installment 172 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two prohibitions, again relating to the sacrifices. Prohibition 130, that a person may not eat meat from the sacrifices which has become tame, or ritually impure. And prohibition number 129, that a person may not eat even pure taharadik of meat if the person himself is impure. Both of these commandments relate to the laws of tumah, pure impurity or purity, which, as the Rambam explains, do not refer to any sort of physical uncleanliness or any sort of physical condition. Rather, the laws of tumah v'tahara, purity and impurity, are purely spiritual matters, something which are totally invisible and are defined only by the infinite intellect of God, and come under the category of chukim, of laws which are completely beyond human understanding. Therefore, a person who has touched one different creature which has died becomes impure, whereas if he touches another sort of creature which has died, he remains pure. And the difference is a very extreme one, as we will see from both of these prohibitions today. Prohibition number 130 is the prohibition not to eat any sacrificial offering which has come in contact with an impure person. As stated in the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, verse 19, V'habosar asher yiga b'chol tamei le'yeyochel. Meat which has been touched by anyone impure shall not be eaten. That since the meat has been rendered impure, or tame, through its contact with tumah, one is forbidden from eating this meat. The Rambam quotes from the Tesefta in the Talmudic tractate Zvachim that a pure person, a person who is tar, who eats an impure sacrificial offering, is punished by lashes. The details of this commandment are described in the 13th chapter of Zvachim. And of course, the details of what constitutes purity and what constitutes impurity are discussed in many places, as we will discuss when we reach the sections relating to tumah v'tahara. Prohibition 129 is another prohibition which is closely related to this one. This is the prohibition that a person who is tameh, a person who is impure, may not eat from the sacrifices. And this is referring that the person is impure, although the sacrifices are pure, in contradistinction to our previous commandment, where the meat was impure and the person was pure. The derivation of this commandment is very, very interesting, as the Rambam quotes the Sifra that the prohibition derives from the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, verse 4. Which in that case is referring to a woman immediately after childbirth who is not allowed to partake of any sort of sacrifices for a period after she has given birth. And the verse states, "B'chol kedesh le'siga," that she may not touch any sort of sanctified object, meaning any holy sacrifices. And as the Sifra explains, this is referring not to touching, but to eating. How do we get from this? What is the explanation of this? That the verse says that she may not touch it, and it really means that she may not eat it? The Rambam quotes the Talmudic tractate Makos, which gives us the derivation of this law. And the Talmud begins by asking a question that the Rambam quotes in many other places, that for any commandment, we need both the prohibition itself and another verse which gives us the punishment. In this case, we know where the punishment is learned from, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, verse 20, which states, "V'nefesh asher teicha basar mizevach ha'shlamim asher la'ashem." Anyone who eats meat from the peace offering, "V'tumasei alav," and he is impure, "V'nichasa," he is cut off. The penalty is excision of the soul. As the Rambam quoted also from the 4th chapter of Psachim, that if the person is tameh, he is punishable by kares, whereas if the meat is tameh or impure, it is a regular prohibition and he is only punished by lashes. To return to our discussion in Makos, the Talmud asks, here we see the punishment for this prohibition, but where do we see the prohibition itself? And the Talmud answers, we see this from Leviticus 12:4, that b'chol kedesh le'siga, one may not touch the sacrifices. And the Talmud immediately asks, it doesn't say you cannot eat the sacrifices, it says you cannot touch the sacrifices. How do we know that this is referring to eating? And the Talmud answers with the Talmudic principle of the Yud Gimel Mides, Davar Alam Me'inyone. You can learn about a thing from its context. In this case, what does the entire verse say? One may not touch the sacrifices, and one may not enter the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. And the Talmud says, what is the penalty for entering the temple when one is tameh or impure? The penalty, says the Talmud, is a very severe one, a taking away a loss of the soul. Therefore, the beginning of this pasuk, the beginning of the verse, which refers to the sacrifices and says one may not touch them, obviously cannot be referring to regular touching, because one is not punishable by loss of his soul for merely touching the sacrifice. The Talmud thereby concludes that the prohibition here is for eating of the sacrifices when one is impure. And just as the penalty for entering the temple when one is impure is loss of the soul, so too the penalty for eating when one is impure, eating the sacrifices, it is also a cutting off of the soul of kares. Why then, asked the Rambam, does it mention that she should not touch the sacrifice? Why doesn't it not clearly state that one may not eat the sacrifice? And the Rambam explains, this is to teach us that touching is also prohibited just as eating is prohibited. However, eating, the punishment is kares, excision of the soul. Whereas for touching, it is merely a regular prohibition. Someone who eats unintentionally must bring a korban eleviyered, a sacrifice which is dependent on a person's financial status. We can explain both of these commandments by referring to a Maimar Chassidus, a Chassidic explanation of the Kohanim's consumption of the sacrifices as explained by the Tzemach Tzedek in Derech Mitzvotecha, as we explained on another occasion. The Tzemach Tzedek explains that our normal weekday consumption of food is intended to purify the sparks of holiness which are in the food. These sparks of holiness are in a way higher than the holiness we ourselves have. That the lower a thing is, the higher form of holiness it has. This is why plant life can live off mineral life. Because mineral life, in a way, has a higher spark of godliness than the plants. And therefore the plants can grow from eating the minerals. So too the animals can grow from eating the plants, and humans can grow from eating the animals, the minerals, and the plants. Because animals, minerals, and plants, all of them have in a way a higher form, a higher spark of godliness than we ourselves have. Therefore, when we eat, we must purify these sparks of holiness. As the Baal Shem Tov explained, that when we think we are hungry for food, we're not really hungry for food. Our soul, rather, is hungry for the sparks of godliness in the food. And the soul, since the only way of getting the food is by convincing the body it's hungry, convinces the body to go and eat. However, this is all the regular eating which we do during the week. The eating of the Kohanim, however, was much higher than that, as the Tzemach Tzedek compares it to the eating that we do on Shabbos. That during the week, the only time there is a commandment to eat is merely to keep healthy. But the eating itself is not a commandment. It's not a mitzvah. And therefore, we must go through this purification process to make our eating worthwhile. However, on Shabbos, the eating itself is a commandment. The eating itself is a mitzvah. And the Tzemach Tzedek compares it to raising something up, to taking the godliness out of a low object and raising it above to holiness. The eating on Shabbos, however, is bringing godliness down into the world. That on Shabbos, because of its high level of holiness, it is not necessary to go through this purification process to separate the holiness from the unholy. So too, the consumption of the Kohanim followed the sacrifice. After the fat and the blood were offered on the altar, then the animal was already purified. The sparks of godliness had been taken out, had been elevated to holiness. This is like eating during the week. Afterwards, the Kohanim could then consume the sacrifices. And when the Kohanim would eat the sacrifice, this would be like our eating on Shabbos, to bring down godliness in the world. That the Kohen is, so to speak, a human representation or a human similarity to God, that since we were created in His image, we, through our actions, can bring down godliness to the world as it comes down directly from God Himself. In light of this, we can understand the two prohibitions. One cannot eat the sacrifice after it has become tame, after it has become impure, because then the act of purifying the sparks has been ruined. It is no longer a pure piece of meat. It is no longer in its previous state of holiness. And have the eating, the consumption of it, thereby bring down additional godliness. So too, the Kohen who is impure does not have the power, does not have the level of holiness to bring down such godliness into the world, that he has to be in the image of his Creator. And when he is holy, he has diminished his holy state. And in his state of tumah, his state of impurity, cannot accomplish the purification of the sacrifice and the subsequent drawing down of godliness into the world. Therefore, both of them are strictly prohibited. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.